Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can also follow me on Blue Sky at Andy Herman NFL. Appreciate you guys being here. And of course, you can always follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast as well. Today, we're going to be going over 10 players. 10 Packers, more specifically, who must step up in the second half of the season. It's non-negotiable. These players are going to have to play better. Before we get there, quick shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Isaac, Ponder Wild, and Richard Morales. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. Also want to tell you about Autograph. I think I mentioned this the other day, but I'm going to be doing some halftime chats for every Packers game from here on out for the remainder of the season. So every halftime, it's usually about 15 to 20 minutes. I'm going to be hopping on Autograph and chatting with you guys and talking about what's been going on in the game. So obviously bye week this week, but starting next week, that'll start back up. So excited about that. Also just did an episode exclusive to Autograph that you can check out on the app. Again, it's free to download. Go get it. It's super easy. Use code PACKADAY. And I basically broke down what we should be watching for this weekend from a Packers point of view. So what games we should be watching, who we should be cheering for, and everything like that. So make sure to go check that out as well. Autograph app, cannot recommend it enough. All right, let's get to these 10 Packers. They're not in any sort of particular order, but these are the 10 Packers who must step up and be better in the second half of the season. Some of these you probably already know, and it could probably go without saying. I think others will dig into a little bit more, but let's start with number one. Do you have a guess who it is? Kenny Clark is number one on my list. And again, it's not specifically in order. I'm not ranking it 1 to 10 or anything like that, but I am just going to say Kenny Clark is number one on my list. The Packers, if you remember, just in the offseason, rewarded Kenny Clark with a 3-year, $64 million contract, all right? A little over $21 million per year with his extension. In the meantime, in the first half of the season, he, for my grades, is my fourth lowest graded defender on the team. He's my fourth lowest graded defender, my fifth lowest graded overall player on the team. PFF has him even graded worse. They have a 50.7 grade on him, which is good for 96th out of 124 interior defensive linemen. All right, he has not been good in this first half of the season. Now, some of the really bad grades were at the very beginning of the year. He's played a little bit better as of late, more neutral-ish, but certainly not what you were expecting from one Kenny Clark, who has been, for the most part, the picture of consistency over his entire career in Green Bay. To give you an idea of that, and I will note that these first two numbers probably a little bit higher because my grading scale has changed just a little bit over the course of time, but just even still, to give you an idea, these were his first 9 games that he played in every season going back to 2017 using my grades. 2017, plus 8.9. 2018, plus 9.55. 2019, plus 2.1. 2020, plus 1.55. 2021, plus 5.65. 2022, plus 4.15. 2023, plus 1.95. 2024, minus 1.55. He's never had a season like this. He's never had a finished season that was anywhere even close to the negatives. He is going to have to finish strong for the remainder of the season. And even then, you're probably talking about maybe a slight positive. So it is paramount that for him, first of all, to sort of live up to this contract that Green Bay just gave him, to play better. To, you know, kind of have it within himself to figure out a way to be a bit more successful. And it's going to be even more paramount for the success of Green Bay that Kenny play better along that defensive line. I don't know how many times I've said it in the last 6 years since I started podcasting about the Packers, right around there. This defense, whether it has been Mike Pettine's, Joe Barry's, or now Jeff Hafley's, I guess I can't say it about Jeff Hafley's because we've never really seen it, but more often than not, the Packers defense has gone as Kenny Clark is gone. When he is dominant up front, it is a force multiplier that is creating opportunities for everyone else on the team. as a run defender in the middle of the defensive line, it makes it really difficult to run inside when he is dominating in that interior. And I mean extremely difficult. And then that makes everyone's job easier at the linebacker level, at the safety level. You're basically setting everyone else up for success when you're in the middle of that defense and you're just eating everything up right in that center. And then as a pass rusher, you know, you want to talk about trying to get these defensive ends off to a better start in the second half of the year. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Get that penetration up the middle. Get those quarterbacks scrambling or having to go back further. If that quarterback can get to their 5 or 7 step drop and stay on that spot, the defensive ends can't go around. The offensive tackle can just kind of work them around the bend and, you know, walk them right around the quarterback. But if that quarterback has to take a couple more steps backwards, now those speed rushes around the end, all of a sudden you're meeting right at the quarterback. Or the quarterback is forced to scramble, and that's where guys like LVN with the hustle and the athleticism can really make you pay. So I'm not saying that it, you know, absolves Rashawn Gary, LVN, and some of these defensive ends of getting off their blocks and going and making plays as well. But when Kenny is going strong and collapsing those pockets, it's going to make things inherently easier for the rest of the pass rushers. And if you get to the quarterback quicker, that certainly makes things easier in coverage for your linebackers, your corners, and your safeties. So when I say he is a force multiplier, he is a very big force multiplier for this defense. But we haven't seen that at all through the first half of the season. The pressures aren't there. The sacks aren't there. The big plays aren't there. There's nothing. The run defense, I've seen Kenny get moved out of a gap more than I've ever seen him in any other season so far this year. Now, I understand and I get this is a change to a 4-3 defense. There is a little bit of a difference here for Kenny Clark. It's not exactly apples to apples. So Green Bay and Jeff Hafley and Kenny Clark are going to have to figure out how you can unlock him in the second half of this year, because he is too important of a player to be a negative graded player on the season. It can't happen that way. He should never, ever be PFF's 96th graded interior defensive tackle. Now, you can take my grades, you can take PFF, you know, grades, whatever you want. If you're not a truster in those, a believer in those, that's fine. I implore you to go watch the tape on your own and see if you are watching Kenny Clark do anything with any level of consistency that we've come to expect. And let's just say, by the way, that PFF and I are wrong or whatever. Like, I've been using the same grading scale. Like I said, there's a couple tweaks in the 2017, 2018 range, but for the most part, the same grading scale over and over. And all the great years of Kenny, interestingly enough, graded extremely well, right? So using that same grading scale, now all of a sudden, not grading very well. PFF, all those years before with Kenny, always graded very, very well for PFF. All of a sudden this year, not grading so well using their same grading scale. So maybe it's not perfect. I will never, ever try to even remotely say that for mine or PFF's. It's not going to be perfect. But when you track it and trend it over time, you can see certain things like this. And you can see a little bit of that decline. Now, I don't think Kenny is hashtag washed. I don't think he's done. I don't think anything like that. I think he can still be a really good player. And I'll be totally transparent too. I don't know the exact reason that Kenny hasn't been able to put it together in the first half of the season. There's nothing that I can point to. It doesn't really look like he's lost any significant step. It doesn't seem like he's lacking for effort. I just don't see him making that same level of impact. So whatever it might be, whether it's just wear and tear and, you know, just not really taking to this new defense, I'm not sure exactly what it is. But they're all going to have to work together, meaning, again, defensive line coach, Kenny, coaching staff, everyone, to figure out how we can make it work better. Because right now, that 3-year, $64 million deal is not looking great. In fact, right now, it looks really bad. And this is one of the things I said in the offseason. I was one of the very, very few people. This is not just to, you know, say, look at me, look what I said. I believed it at the time. I believe it even more now that they should have let him play out this season for a variety of reasons. One, while Kenny was still good the last couple years, it was a step down, a pretty significant step down from where he was even in his prime. Like there, you could see a little bit of a decline there. Second is, while he's still under 30 years old, he has a ton of wear and tear on his body because he came into the league at age 20. that usually starts to catch up with you. And usually Green Bay is super cautious in giving out those sort of deals because they can usually see the writing on the wall a little bit more. And more importantly, I really wanted to see him in this Jeff Hafley defense and say, let's see how this works. Because if it doesn't, now you're stuck with a player that may not fit in this defense that you just can't get off of the contract like you just did with Preston Smith. There's too much of a cap hit there. So to me, I would have waited to give him that deal just to see how he looked in this defense. And if Green Bay would have waited, now maybe there was a situation where Kenny was going to say, hey, I'm not playing without a new contract, and there would have been a holdout and Green Bay negotiated in good faith and Kenny's just got to pay it off, whatever it might be. I that could be a piece of this. But right now, that contract does not look great. And I guess my bigger point here is I don't care about the contract, right? I'm happy, you know, Kenny got paid. That's great. That's awesome. He deserved it based on his play in previous seasons. But I really want to see him just come out in the second half and play the way that we all know Kenny can play, because he's a phenomenal football player. He's been a phenomenal football player. There's no overrated with Kenny Clark in his career. He has been as advertised. He's been everything you've wanted and more. And now we just need to see that, hopefully for this run in the second half of the year, because Green Bay could desperately need it along the defensive line. Hey everyone, as Green Bay gets set to head into their bye week, I always find the week without a game to be one of my favorite times to play Prize Picks. With Prize Picks, you can win up to 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And right now, you can sign up and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive that $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Simply put, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. Which players are going off, which ones aren't, make your picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes against Denver, Russell Wilson against Washington, and CJ Stroud to bounce back huge against Detroit. The best part is there are a ton of options out there for you to choose from. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after your first $5 play. Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey friends, most people don't tell you that one of the hardest parts of becoming an adult is trying to actually kickstart your credit. Young adults get set up with credit cards so early, and so many people immediately start to accumulate debt as they begin their college careers. I know that's exactly what happened to me. That is why I wish Kickoff was around when I was in credit trouble. I absolutely love Kickoff because of its simplicity and, most importantly, because of its results. Here's how simple it is. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows. And as far as those results, users with credit under 600 increased their credit by an average of 28 points in the first month. And what's even better, you can sign up in minutes from your phone and there's no credit check and you can cancel at any time. Kickoff is the number one credit building app out there and has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So join over a million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Build your credit fast with Kickoff. Get your first month for a dollar. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C. Get KIKOFF.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 28-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0. Changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary. That brings us to number two, and I'm not going to go over these quite as much in depth each time as I did with Kenny Clark there, but number two is no surprise to anyone either, and that's Rashawn Gary. And we can almost have basically a copy and paste identical conversation other than it was the contract in the middle of last year rather than in this past offseason. In the past basically 365 days, Green Bay has given these huge contracts to Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark to be the focal point of a defensive line that was supposed to help lead them basically to the promised land, right? Those two are supposed to be the guys on this line. And the truth is they have not been. I will say this once again, when it comes to Rashawn at least, he has not played poorly. This is not a negatively graded player. He has been fine. He has been solid. He is a slight positive, all right, and at least from my grades. But that's not what you're asking for. You're asking him to be a game wrecker, a game changer, somebody that offensive coordinators have to consistently plan for. And I do know he was getting chipped quite a bit. I understand that. At one point, he was the third most chipped offensive or defensive lineman in the NFL. So I understand that. Hasn't been easy. I do appreciate the fact that he's not rushing upfield as much and opening those gaps up as much as he was in previous seasons. He's been pretty good against the run. So this is not a bad player at all, by any means. There's a lot of stuff that he's still doing well. There have been multiple times where he's been this close to a sack and the quarterback just gets the ball out of his hands right away. It's going to happen from time to time. He had a sack taken away by a Preston Smith offsides penalty. Like, those things have sort of happened a little bit with Rashawn too, but it in no way has been consistent enough, especially when it comes to a playmaking standpoint for Rashawn. And I've been the one that's been sort of preaching and saying, hey, Rashawn needs to do a better job of using his bull rush, of converting speed to power and going through offensive linemen and going through their face rather than trying to be a more finesse player and go around them. Well, last week, Rashawn tried it on a couple occasions and couldn't do much with it. So I don't know. I'm at a little bit of a loss right now. And the weird thing with Rashawn is he had a fantastic training camp. He looked great. And you might say, well, it's just Green Bay's offensive line. Their pass pro and their offensive line is fantastic, especially Zach Tom and Rashid Walker, right? Like, those two are very good at pass pro. So I don't know exactly what to make of it. I'm as befuddled and confused as I think you probably are, but the Packers need to figure it out. And hey, listen, if this is something where he's not comfortable with his hand in the dirt and you need to stand him up, by all means, stand him the hell up. Who cares? Like, and maybe on early downs or whatever, you have to be a little bit more, you know, hey, we need your hand in the dirt. But if it's a third down and it's time to get after the quarterback, whatever he feels comfortable doing, if he wants to play over center, defensive tackle, defensive end, wide nine, hand in the dirt, standing up, doing cartwheels, I do not care. Get him in a spot where he feels comfortable, that you can get him in an advantageous matchup and let him cook. And then the bigger thing here is that all sounds great. Yeah, move him around, get him doing all this. He's still got to win. I don't care who he's going against. Guard, center, tackle, backup, Hall of Famer. He's got to find ways to win. And it hasn't been consistent enough. So Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, I would argue the two biggest on this list. I know I said I'm not putting it in order, but I would probably put those two as two guys that have to step up. Number three and number four, I'll put right together, and we're staying on the same side of the ball in the same defensive front. LVN and Devontae Wyatt, two first-round picks. Listen, I get LVN was raw coming out, and he's in year two only. He's still very young. He's very talented. Somebody posted the other day, like, how can you say LVN is talented? He doesn't have any moves at his disposal. There's a difference between talent and technique. The talent, and what I mean by that is awesome size, unbelievable athleticism, super strong, looks the part, has all the God-given natural talent in the world. Technique-wise, no, it's a nightmare right now. It's a mess. Like, his technique needs a ton of fine-tuning. He's got to find a go-to move. I'm not even talking about a counter at this point. I'm just talking about something. Just something that when you get to the offensive tackle, you can do this. So you can try to find a way to win a little bit easier. And right now, he doesn't have that at his disposal. And again, it's still early-ish in his career. When you spend a top 15 pick, you kind of want to have your cake and eat it too. You kind of want somebody that can develop, but also that can come in and make an impact. And to a lesser extent, I do have a slight negative grade on LVN, but that we're not in total complete bust territory where it's like, why is this guy even on the field? It's not quite there yet. But from a pass rushing standpoint, it's almost there. Because he's in like the 4% range for pass rush win rate, meaning he gets a pressure, I shouldn't say pass rush win rate, for pressure percentage. So he gets about 4 pressures every 100 pass rush snaps. Not snaps, pass rush snaps. 4 pressures every 100. Yeah, that's brutal. That's absolutely brutal. And guess what? They just released Preston Smith or traded Preston Smith. He's going to get more opportunities and he has to find a way to make the most of them. And he's got to get better. That progress, there has to be those signs of progress. You know, I get that, you know, there's been plenty of Packers in their careers where, hey, it took until year 3 or year 4 to break out. To some extent, Rashawn was kind of year 3 when he really sort of broke out and started to make more of an impact. But this team does not have time to wait. They need to win now. I mean, they don't need to win now. I'm not saying it's like, this is it. This is their only chance. But you would like them to be able to compete at a high level, and they need this defensive front to play better. And that includes LVN, who's who there's a lot of hope for, but it's been a frustrating start to his career, to be frank. And then Devontae Wyatt, in sort of a similar way, right? Like, he's not been bad at all. He's been pretty good throughout the first part of this season. I do think there's a step that he's taken from year two to year three. He looks better. He looks the part, but it's just not quite consistent enough. And he's had some injuries as well. I just think there's so much more ceiling there for Devontae Wyatt to get to. And listen, he's got the opportunity to get his fifth year option picked up. If he wants that picked up, he has to start playing better. So this week was, I know he was coming back from injury, but it was fine. But this should be somebody that we're talking about as a impact performer along the defensive line. I mean, the excitement I think we all had for the potential of Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt working together on the interior of that defensive front. Kenny Clark more the bulldozer, Devontae Wyatt a little bit of that quick first step. It should have been a really good tandem. Just on paper, like almost giving you some Pat Williams, Kevin Williams vibe, the Williams wall in Minnesota. Like it kind of felt like that could be the sort of situation there. Hasn't been that way at all. And again, it's not that Wyatt's been bad, not at all, not even remotely. But there's a lot more there where he can get a lot better. And I would love to see that happen because, this defensive front needs some pressure, especially some quick pressure on the interior, which Wyatt does have the ability to do. Now let's go to the other side of the ball. Number five, Dontavian Wicks. Again, the story tells itself here, right? The catch percentage is brutal. Too many drops, too many missed opportunities, drop touchdowns, big plays missed. It just, that you can't survive that way. The Jordan or Malik, when he's been in, you just need a more consistent performer at that spot. And it's not like Green Bay's in this situation where they have no receivers and, well, we don't have anyone else, right? You've got Dobbs, Watson, Reed, Bo Melton, Malik Heath. You have options. And you guys know, love Dontavian Wicks. I think he's going to be a really, really good player in this league. But there does come a point in time where, regardless of how great you are off the line of scrimmage, regardless of your really good run blocking intensity, which I do love from him, if you're not catching the ball, you know, receiving is a big part of the receiver position. It's really difficult to kind of take that piece out of it. So again, is this the be all end all? Is this the it's now or never for Dontavian Wicks? No, it's not. But there's so much more talent there. And him getting back on track in the second half would go a long way. And I think really sparking this offense, especially if he can become the player that I really, truly think that he can become. Just got to settle down. I think hopefully the week off, just some time away, will serve him well, sort of reboot the season and get back on the right foot to start the second half of the year. Number six, we're staying at the same position. And that's Christian Watson. Now, when Watson, for the most part, has been thrown to or been given opportunities, he's mostly made the most of them. But the play last week where they throw it down the field to him and he completely misjudges the trajectory of the ball, those things can't happen. And either way, regardless of his opportunities and what he's done with it, this is a player that we have seen, even going back to his rookie year, that can make these big-time impact plays. He can be a big play threat in this offense. And that hasn't really happened. Now, I thought last week he had a really nice game, made some big-time possession receiver catches, some contested ones. Like, I like that game from Christian Watson. And again, this is another player that's not playing bad, right? He's playing good football. But there is so much more fruit on that tree to pick. And I want to see him go out and break out and be that big-time stud playmaker wide receiver that we got glimpses of, especially in his rookie year and even in year two. And we see it every now and again. But he needs to be that big play threat. He's got to come down with some of those catches down the field. He has done a much better job of staying healthy. I know he had that one injury, but even that he came back from relatively quick. And then, you know, hanging on to the ball. He's like the one guy, go figure, that hasn't had a drop issue this year at all. He's hung on to pretty much everything. So it's not bad, but I still think there's so much more there for Christian Watson. And I would love to see him, again, break out just like all these guys, break out in the second half and really make that big time impact and make his name heard and start going towards earning that big second contract, right? You want to earn it. There's been injury issues. There's been these lulls where he maybe doesn't perform up to the level that you expect him to. Let's see him go out and dominate the rest of this year. If he can do that, go a long way in getting that second contract in Green Bay. Number seven's a little bit tougher on my list. And it's tough because he's out injured right now and has been out injured for the majority of the season. And that's Luke Musgrave. And we just heard that he had surgery and we don't know when he's going to be back. it might not be till the very end of the year. But when they get him back, whether it's the end of this year or even if it's going into next year, this is too talented of a player to be pretty nondescript in his play early in the season. Now, and maybe the injury played a little bit of a part in that. Tough to say. I think this should be one of the better seam tight ends in the league, one of the better red zone tight ends in the league. Now, there's limitations. I don't think he's ever going to be a great run after the catch guy. He does have a little bit of that stumble to him, but he's too talented. And I thought he had a very unmemorable training camp. And then he came out to start the season, had some plays where they threw his way and it led to a couple interceptions. Not totally his fault on either of them necessarily, but they just haven't found that connection. And this is a player that Green Bay is expecting a lot from, second round pick, second year in the league, wanting to take that jump. Now he's been out injured. Like, when he does get back on the field, whether it's this year or next year, he needs to show up and perform better than what he has so far. And I think he can be a real key in this Packers offense. Like I said, red zone and up the seam in the middle of the field. He's got great size, great speed, great catch radius. Just too talented. Got to find a way to unlock that. And that's going to be a huge part when he does come back for this offense, is finding a way to let him contribute and really be a bigger player within this offense. But it's up to Musgrave to play better, to get those opportunities when he does get back healthy. All right, number eight, Rashid Walker. Loved this last game from Rashid. Thought it was his best game of the year against Detroit. But up until that point, was a really shaky start to the season. Now, maybe this is just a repeat of last year. Last year, Rashid was very shaky to start the year. Second half, he was fantastic. That was a great end of the way to start the first half with a really good game against Detroit. Hopefully, he can carry that over and be fantastic for the rest of the season. He's a good tackle. He's a really good tackle. He didn't play like it in the first half up until that final game. So just want to see him play that way a little bit more, have those opportunities to go out there and be that dominant, not dominant, but like really strong pass protecting left tackle that can get you in the run game. Thought he played with a lot better intensity this past game. Just want to see that. Can he go out and do that for the remainder of the season? That would also go a long way in him getting that next contract. Number nine is another interesting one. And you might think of another name here, but I'm going with Carrington Valentine. I don't think Carrington Valentine's played poorly. In fact, I think when he's been on the field, he's played pretty darn well. So, all right, why are we saying then that he's the one that has to play better? I don't want to give the Packers defensive staff or Matt LaFleur, whoever is making the decision, any more doubt. I want Carrington to make it crystal clear that, hey, I should be the guy that's on the field. And quite frankly, I think he has already done that when he's been out there, but I want to see it more. And I want to see him take that opportunity and run with it and say, you need me on the field at all times. He's too talented of a player. I don't know if the reason that he's not out there is because of practice habits or assignment, preparedness and tape stuff. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, make sure that it is out of the coach's mind and that they go to you, because he is a much better player than I think some of these corners that are playing out there right now. And he's got to find a way to get out there. And I don't know, again, what it's going to take for him to get those chances, but when he does, he needs to make the most of it. This is a player that I think we all expected could take that year two jump. He just hasn't even had the opportunity to show it. So go out, earn that opportunity, be better in the second half, and make it so that defensive staff cannot keep you off the field in the second half of this season. Last but not least, number 10, Jordan Love. All right. Goes without saying. Injury part of this, absolutely, right? Slippery field the first game, maybe a little bit, but not playing poorly, like terribly, but certainly not to the level that we came to expect at the end of last year. Super talented QB, has to learn how to make better decisions in some of those key moments. Can't have two pick sixes in the first half of the year. Can't have two more in the second half for sure. So again, I have all the faith in the world in Jordan. I really, really do. I think he's going to have a great, great, great second half. But rein it in, get healthy, play better. And if he can't, if this is just the Jordan of 2024, it's going to be pretty darn difficult to reach the end goal, right? Again, not terrible. But if you want a real opportunity at the end of the year, win some playoff games, go to a Super Bowl, it's going to take a better version of Jordan Love than we saw in the first half of the season. Injuries be damned, whatever it may be, whatever you want to blame it on, it is what it is. And he needs to get healthy in the second half and start finding that rhythm and start being that decisive thrower that's not turning the ball over. If he can do that, Green Bay is going to be in very good hands. So my top 10, and again, no order, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, LVN, Devontae Wyatt, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Luke Musgrave, Rasheed Walker, Carrington Valentine, Jordan Love. I have one honorable mention, and that is TJ Slayton. Contract year. Been very TJ Slayton-esque. This is who he is? He's probably not getting this massive contract in free agency. He's probably more towards like a two-year, $10 million deal maybe from some team in free agency. If he can go and tear it up the second half of the year, he could get a significant contract, maybe 3 years, 30. So TJ, buddy, go out, earn that contract, whether it's from Green Bay or somebody else. Go out and dominate in the second half and make some team give you that money. Go get that bread. You deserve it. So I want to see him just ball out and tear it up in the second half. Again, not somebody that's been bad in the first half, but it's been very TJ Slayton-esque of like, we've seen this story before. Every once in a while, he looks awesome. Every once in a while, he looks terrible. Every once in a while, or even for a long while, you just kind of go without noticing him. It's not the worst thing, but there's something a little bit more there. But if he's ever going to bring it out, go get that contract. Now is the time. And then you may be thinking, Andy, you crazy? You went through 10 players and an honorable mention that need to play better in the second half, and you didn't even bring up Eric Stokes and Quay Walker? What the hell? I hope that I'm wrong in saying this. I sincerely hope that I am incredibly wrong in saying this. I will play this clip, and I will publicly say I was wrong if it ends up being this way. I think this is just who they are. I think this is Quay. I think this is Stokes. I don't think there's any playing at least significantly better. I've seen 3 years of this from Quay. It's been basically the same thing from day one up until now. There's not that killer instinct at that inside linebacker position. He's an okay blitzer, plays the seam really well in cover two, has some speed sideline to sideline, but his instincts hold him back. He's not a great tackler. He's not an intimidator. He's not a physical, you know, imposing inside linebacker. He's okay in coverage, solid QB spy. I think that's just who he is. I know some people want to move him to edge. He struggles to get off of blocks from a running back when he blitzes. I don't see him beating offensive tackles with any level of consistency. So try him there. Sure, go for it. I don't care if that's what you, if you want to try him there, I'm fine with it. But I think this is just who Quay is. And I feel even more confident that this is who Eric Stokes is. We've kind of seen it now. There's been a big enough sample size with him. So yeah, I would love if there was another level to Stokes and Quay's game and they went out and they had unbelievable second halves of the season. That'd be awesome. Sign me the hell up and I will gladly love to be wrong. I really, really would. I'm cheering both of these guys on. It may not sound like it. I would rather be wrong and them be great than me be right and them not play well. 1,000,000% every single time. I will gladly be wrong. Sign me the hell up for that. But I think this is just who they are. I don't think there's another level there. And that's why I want to see Carrington Valentine at outside corner. And if you want to keep Quay in, that's fine. I just think that needs to be, it shouldn't just be, he gets the green dot. He's going to play every play on defense every week, no matter what. There's a role for him. I really think there is. But I just don't think it needs to be that, again, every single snap. I think you have enough linebackers on the team to rotate that through a little bit more, get some of those other guys a few more snaps, and get Quay a few less. But would love if I'm wrong. Hope they go out and ball out in the second half. Just, I guess I'll believe it when I see it. What the key to this Packers team in the second half, health. They got to get a lot of these guys healthy. Growth. We need to see growth, especially from some of the younger players, but we need to see a big second half from these players who struggled in the first half. And then consistency, not beating themselves, not shooting themselves in the foot, making it repeatable week after week. Get in those good habits, get part of your muscle memory, and then go out and do it every single week and let the standard be the standard. That's what I'm looking for. Growth, health, and consistency. They can do those things, and these guys can step up in the second half. Green Bay is going to be in a very good spot. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, most hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broad Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnoldo Espinoza, Peter Ritaka, SoCal Pack, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Love and Football, Puerto Rican Packer, and Dan Gesford. I'll see you guys right back here tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go and enjoy your weekend.